Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Pagans Tonight, with your hosts, Ed Hubbard, Tracy Logan Wood, along with John Lewis, Marianne, and Kelly Spangler. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view across the globe. Join us Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for interviews and lively discussions right here on Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone around. I'm Ed the Pagan. This is, we come from you from 174 countries have visited our website. The last one was Shangri-La, Shambhala. Some people said the island of Lemur because it was an unknown flag. I'm still tracing that one down. I think that was kind of funny. Want to welcome everyone. I'm Ed the Pagan, your host, also known as Ed Hubbard. And tonight we're going to bring you news. And because we're bringing you news, we're going to bring you the ever-serious and highly historical...
Don Lewis.
Yes. You're getting better at that. As you know, Don's... Well, let's start with some... I think it's interesting news, because, as you know, Don is a man whose head is filled with ancient Egypt. By his own admission, he is quite the Egyptian fan.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And he gets irritated with me every once in a while, because I get to the facts, new archaeology facts, faster than he does a lot of times. And in this case... We just did that recently. We came up, and just in the last couple of hours, they've been talking about a major shift of King Tut.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So, and I know a lot of our audience is Egyptology type people, so I hope you enjoy. We want to look at that and do it. So, Don, can you tell us a little bit about the news story?
Well, you know, for many years, there have been many questions around the figure of King Tut, or Tutankhamun,
mm-hmm.
including his parentage, how he died, whether he suffered from physical illnesses or not. And what they've done is basically a series of DNA tests on the mummy of King Tut and, I guess, 9 other Egyptian royal mummies to try to establish how they're related to each other, and also their physical condition. And some of the things that they found that were reported in the story are that King Tut had no use at all of one foot. I believe it's the right foot he had no use of.
Mm-hmm.
The left foot was clubbed, so he would have been able to walk only with great difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that he probably died of malaria, although they say that they cannot really be sure, but it looks like it was likely.
Well, because there's traces of malaria in his DNA.
Yes. So he definitely had it, whether it's what killed him or not. They can only guess.
Let's talk about this. They discovered this through DNA testing. They found DNA,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to call it.
It's amazing that, you know, they've also done DNA work with Neanderthals.
Right, but this one, you know, what gets me is that they spent $5 million on that DNA lab. And guess who
mm-hmm.
paid for it? Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Kira Noctis mentioned that they found a blow to his skull. Yeah, they've just finished, as of today, they finished this complete medical, as much as you can give a mummy a medical with our technology. He had a blow to the skull. He survived the blow to the skull. And they think that he went on there.
Mm-hmm.
I also found, and then they also said his arm was broken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not in good shape at the time of his death.
Yeah, he wasn't in great shape. He was in terrible shape and was basically inbreeding, him in.
And I believe that they're saying that they have established that his father was Akhenaten.
Right.
Although I'd like to hear a little more about that, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how they would establish that, unless they've established the mummy that belongs to Akhenaten.
Well, it was, yeah, they have. They think they have.
They have.
Yeah.
But whoever's mummy it is his father.
Yeah.
And they've established also his mother. And if I read the story correctly and recognize the designation, it's the mummy that is sometimes said to be Nefertiti, but they're arguing about it. They're not exactly sure if it was Nefertiti or not, but whoever it is, it's a sister of Akhenaten. So his parents were brother and sister.
So that's the thing. So I think it's going to be very interesting as they dig into it. And then they started to do something I think that was very interesting. They said they preserved the rest of the remains. When they started feeling like they were getting too invasive,
they decided to...
Yes. Basically, they preserved it so that they said, because there's going to be more tools soon in a couple of years and in a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, that's, you know, and that's the idea, is that they're going to be able to find more. So they're finding out DNA. They're going to start rebuilding DNA. It is very interesting how close we are coming to this idea of being able to find out tons of information and actually be able. One of the things they'll be able to do now with that sequence, because remember, they're doing a whole DNA experiment all over the world. They're collecting DNA from all sorts of races, and they're comparing them and people. And now they'll be able to enter this sort of ancient Egyptian, and we'll be able to find out whose people are probably descendants of ancient Egyptians.
You know, that's a very good point, because the ethnicity of the ancient Egyptians is often a matter of contention, and this should absolutely establish it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, good piece of news.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's fascinating. It's amazing, actually.
Yeah, it is absolutely 100% fascinating. And you like Egyptian. I know that you're a big Egyptian fan. What do you think every time? And I think one of the other things is they found two stillborn fetuses in the grave, and they always thought it was his half-siblings, and now they're saying they were his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've established that they actually were the children, yeah.
Right. So, and as far as we know, let me finally finish this. King Dot, one of the most popular periods of time to be reincarnated into for some reason. well, no, isn't there a lot of past life memories from that period?
A huge number, yes.
A huge number. It's like one of those periods, remember. It really was the fall of that dynasty, wasn't it? Didn't the next generation was a military regime?
King Tut was pretty much the last of his dynasty, yes. He, his wife, who was also his sister, did survive him and may or may not have ruled for a little while herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the next two pharaohs who came to the throne might have been distant relatives, but after that it passed to the next dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was not like a cataclysmic ending. I mean... When you say you go from one dynasty to the next, it makes it sound like a huge shift, and it certainly was a shift.
Mm-hmm.
But the next dynasty is the dynasty that Ramesses II belongs to,
okay.
Who was the great builder.
Mm-hmm.
It was certainly a very, very interesting and exciting time. It was, in my opinion, the height of Egyptian culture.
Okay.
I mean, they did incredible things and things that people forgot how to do afterwards.
Right.
For example, people were very excited many hundreds of years later when they invented glass, but the Egyptians already had it.
So you think people can, that sort of thing happens. We invent things and then we lose it.
Yeah, actually, one of the very interesting things in history
mm-hmm.
is that we know that aluminum was invented several times and forgotten because we have aluminum items from long before it was invented in modern times. There's aluminum that comes from ancient Asia. They haven't found any from the Roman Empire, but there is a story of an invention that fits with aluminum, and it is believed that it may very well have been aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it either didn't catch on or didn't get passed down.
They didn't have finds yet. they didn't have the planes yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break because then we're going to bring you the story that we promised you. Are you ready to have your I think people are going to be outraged when they hear this, but this is the final step. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about witch hunts, about second-tier rights and everything else. Now we take it to the highest, one of the highest courts in the land, one of the highest places where decisions are being made, and they want to make witchcraft illegal. That's right. This one goes all the way up to the UN, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anyplace online magical education. With a wide range of classes in magic, witchcraft, and psychic arts, as well as exciting social forums through Ning and Yahoo, video through Magic TV, and online radio with Pagans Tonight. Buy a membership today. And if you've already got a membership, buy another for someone you love. They're a great investment. WitchSchool.com.
Okay, folks. I want to send out a very private, I want everybody to send Leo energy. He's dealing with a situation, that and I promised him that we'd send him energy. And anyone out there, energy. I know this is a rough time of year, so I really think it is. And Don actually does remember, you know, his prayer. He does prayers every morning. Most people don't realize that. So if you ever have a healing need or want Don to do an extra part of his meditations and remember somebody for you, you just have to email him at donlewishp@aol or visit his site, reverenddonlewis.com, and just send him an email. Right, Don?
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You've done it before. You even have some up on video. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last 2 weeks, we've been laying out this argument, one, that there are witch hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yes.
And witch hunts are growing.
Mm-hmm.
And that the African witch colonies have moved on to Nepal, which we've discovered, throughout India, throughout the Muslim world,
mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia. We discovered that Christian suppliers of weapons, in one very popular case, was sniper rifles. And they were putting biblical verses on the sniper rifle or on the rifle's sights.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about Patrick McCollum and one of the most instrumental cases of creating a two-tier religious system within the United States as being constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the Battle of the 30 Days of Advocacy that's coming from South Africa to begin battling to try to educate people about the reality of Wicca and traditional crafts.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional crafts. We've talked about that,
yeah.
And we've covered a lot of it last week. We've also now talked about the fact that the Air Force Academy got this wonderful, wonderful pagan circle, and that pastors have gone out and saying, excuse me, but, you know, they're using Supreme Court statements from the early 1800s to state that the Constitution was never meant to protect minority religions, only to keep Christian religions from fighting with each other. And they're making a very legitimate argument constitutionally through things called precedent. And so we have this constitutional argument. There's this constitutional argument, and you got to understand. Let me back this up. Oh yeah. So they're basically stating, let me explain something. I'm spent years as a paralegal, a decade, and I love the law, and I just didn't love the practice of the law. And one thing you do in law, especially constitutional law, is you build up on this precedent idea of precedent. You say, this is what the Founding Fathers interpreted, this is what I think it means, and so have now all these other court decisions. And in constitutional law, you're allowed to take any decision that has ever been written about the Constitution. And what it is, you weave together your argument with those statements. And the guys on the other side, the defense or the plaintiffs, get to use all their arguments that they see in the Constitution. And then nine very wise men and women, and I do believe that they are wise, then make a decision of what they believe the Supreme Court makes a decision on what they think is the best interpretation of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've done a lot of protection, but they've done a lot of other things. And the argument is that any time the Supreme Court are men and women who, and more importantly, only recently modern history, women. and the idea is that they basically make decisions. 2 weeks ago, they made a very, very controversial decision about the fact that corporations are persons, and persons are allowed to spend an unlimited amount of money towards making their political views known. Okay? So this is how constitutional law works. So it's kind of a little bit gibberish to most people, but it is what we live by. That's our Constitution. And when you argue rights, you argue them utilizing constitutional law. You don't use logic. You don't use emotions. You use ethics and legal structure. Sounds like a gimmick? That's what they are. And so, you have to change the argument. So, guess where they're changing the argument at?
Where?
Well, if you, all of this, well, let me offer you this. All of this looks like disparate parts, don't they? The things in Africa and India, and what's happening in New York with, you know, these sort of trials where they're having the exorcisms and the two-tier religion in California and this pastor talking about that it's not to protect paganism. All of it sounds like disparate pieces. It doesn't sound like it's attached.
Well, it depends who's listening. But
it depends who's
I
listening.
I see what you mean, yes.
It's all different parts. But what if I told you that they're now trying to set a precedent in the UN that would make witchcraft illegal in order to stop witch hunts? And that there's an actual proposal been sitting in front of the UN for about 4 months that would actually outlaw witchcraft so nobody could be accused of being a witch hunter. Mm-hmm. And this was done by the International Humanist Ethics Union, made a presentation to the UN Human Rights Council held in Geneva, Switzerland, on September 12th. I've been holding on this story. I talked about it then, and I wanted to see what it meant. And what they said is lots of things. But the joint statement, in the joint statement, they're saying that, and this was a joint statement by the International Humanist Ethics Union and the Association for World Education, UN Human Rights Council, 12th Sessions, 22nd September 2009. So you have the Association for World Education and the International Humanist Organization, and they're going to ask directly this. They're saying that witchcraft is still widely practiced in many countries in Africa by witch doctors who often use human body parts in their spells. Some witch doctors employ gangs of young men to kill and attack victims, often young children, for their body parts, which are frequently removed while the victim is still alive. An estimated 300 people are killed each year in South Africa alone as a result of this practice. Wow. This is going to take me a minute, but if you can bear with me, I think it's going to. But horrific though this practice is, it's only part of the problem. In Nigeria, in both the Muslim North and the Christian South, witch hunts are not uncommon, and this has led to a second form of abuse. Now, mind you, they've just made the first form of abuse, witches, witch doctors, going after body parts. And this led to a second form of abuse. Some unscrupulous pastors may be linked to Pentecostal churches have a lucrative trade in making unfounded accusations of witchcraft against young children. The pastors then agree to cure the witches for a substantial fee. Many children are being ostracized and abandoned by their parents as a result of these accusations.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on that these people who suffer from these witch hunts is reminiscent of the witch hunts of the 16th and 17th centuries, many being burned alive. Mm-hmm. And that this is the militias of Gambia under the order of the presence have done this. Tanzania, Albanians are being targeted. And it goes on to speak about in Nigeria, one unscrupulous pastor. Now, I want you to listen to this. One unscrupulous made a fortune from unfounded accusations of witchcraft is Helen Upadio, the leader of the Liberty Foundation Gospel Ministries. Recognize the name? You should. In her book, Unveiling the Mysteries of Witchcraft, she states that children under the age of 2 that cries at night and has poor health is an agent of Satan. This ridiculous claim has ensured Mrs. Apkido a steady stream of parents paying to have their children cured. Okay. Let me go on a little bit more about that. So, Mr. President of the Human Rights Council of the UN, we are calling on this council, the South African Union, and the South African Commission for Human and People's Rights to urge governments to do more through improved education and better policy to eliminate the twin scourges of those practicing witchcraft and those claiming to find and cure witches.
Mm-hmm.
So their answer to the witch hunts, to end the witch hunts, is to eliminate witchcraft and basically say it's not real. And I have more supporting document, but that is the exact document that was put out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think. I've been reading this, so I have not been looking at the chat. Hmm? Okay. Alan Burns is asking, can I ask if this may apply to the U.S. alone or the whole of the U.N.? This wasn't brought up in the United States. This is not the United States. This is the U.N. And what happens is it's going before the Human Rights Council, which means that if they agree with it, sure, I can drop the link. And if they agree with it, then other nations, it becomes part of what they call international law.
Mm-hmm.
And then in our country, we're allowed to quote international law in support of what? Ah, in the idea of a two-tier religion. Now, I've got more to what this organization, their lead speaker, has to say about witchcraft. And I'll bring it to you in a minute, but I wanted to get your opinion, Don.
Well, you know, there are so many things involved here, but I think I think the one that I want to comment on that I learned through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it often seems like religion and science are at war, and many people tend to think that the conservative religious types are the ones who started and maintained that war. And there might be some truth in that, but I've noticed that the atheist contingency often is just as virulently anti-religion as anything that you'd want to see. So I'm not entirely surprised by the attitude. I think it's a very, very dangerous situation. I don't think it's dangerous ultimately only for our people. I think that, and I don't think it's a conflict only involving the people who appear on the surface.
No.
Because I think it's a deeper conflict between religious and non-religious factions. But, you know, part of this comes back to that conversation that you had with a priestess that I will not name years ago, in which she said, "I just don't understand why you think numbers are so important." This is why numbers are important. There is not a lot to do about situations like this unless you have some numbers behind you. You can talk about it.
Right.
You can hope that someone else will help you, but there's very little you can do for yourself if you don't have some numbers behind you.
Now, do I think
I'm aware that there are people out there who think that quality means being just a few exclusive people, but the truth is that's vulnerability.
Now, you can argue. One of the things, let me talk about the fact that the UN takes forever to do anything, and it's a grinding, ferocious machine. And I'm a big globalist. I believe in globalism because globalism does a lot of great things. I think Americans are naturally globalist, even if they try to pretend to be isolationist. It'll take forever for this to grind through, but it's not. It's not. But it doesn't take that long, and I'm going to explain to you in a minute. But did you notice that I mentioned where did that witch hunter who's making big bucks? Do you remember the name of her mission?
Wasn't it Liberty Gospel something?
Ministries.
Yeah.
And where do we hear Liberty Gospel Ministries, but a division of one of those divisions, if you put them together, of, oh my gosh, Pat Robertson. And other connected. You can connect it. She is being funded from the United States, just as Sarah Palin's pastor was funded. So literally, this argument is being funded on both sides. Both the IHEU and the Association of Education is widely being funded by American Christians, even though it's a humanist organization trying to pass a scientific law, as well as the witch hunts. Isn't that interesting? But liberty, yes, if you want to know liberty, what can we do as a global? Pat Robinson is in charge of the 700 Club. He's famous for what he does, and he has this sort of thing. But let me go ahead and what we got to do is outrage. The thing that we're going to do next is I'm going to help the Third Day's Advocacy. Nobody's really outraged about this. The tragedy was this was passed in September. This was asked of the UN of that. Now it's in a committee. It's going to be in committee for a year or 2 years as that. But you think got to think about it. There are people who are literally now working on this plan.
Well, this, for those who don't realize, is why part of why that 30 days of advocacy is happening, or about to happen, I believe.
Yeah, and that's the end of March. So what we need to do more than anything else is to get truly outraged about it, get people outraged about this. Now, Leo Igwigi is IHEU's West African representative, is working to combat widespread human rights abuses caused by belief in sorcery and the consequent persecution of alleged witches. On November 12, 2009, he raised the issues of witch hunt at the African Commission. Okay, I was talking about the UN Commission. Now, this is the African Commission, which is in charge, you know, that are working on things. Now, I'm throwing a lot of things at you, and I understand that, and I'm hoping that you will follow me. This is the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. So only people in Africa attended this. Well, I mean, other people did too, but this was designed for just dealing with the African situation. And he basically goes on, he goes, the chairperson, at the 46th, you know, it says, a statement by the International Human Rights and Ethical Union at the 46th session of the African Commission on Human and People's Rights in Banjul, in Gambia. Okay. And basically he says, in Africa, the belief in witchcraft is strong and common and widespread. Over the years, claims of witchcraft have been used to abuse the universally recognized human rights enshrined in the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. In many African countries, to call somebody a witch automatically makes the person unqualified for human rights persecution or human rights protection. To accuse somebody of witchcraft is like passing a death sentence on that person. The accused of witchcraft are tortured, persecuted, and killed. They are subjected to cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment by gangs, mobs, pastors, witch doctors, parents, and families in the name of exorcism or illicit confessions. These alleged to be witches and wizards are victims of jungle justice, extrajudicial killing, forced exile, and disappearance. In Africa, those abused in the name of witchcraft are mainly the vulnerable members of the population, the poor, the elderly, women, children, and people with disabilities. And he goes on and talking about how people then, in Gambia, government agents and some witch doctors from Guinea raided village and homes, abducted hundreds of mainly elderly people alleged to be witches and wizards, took them to secret locations where they were tortured and forced to drink magical concoctions. Some died, after this, taking this magical substance, while others develop severe health complications. The state sponsored witch hunt and the breach of Gambia's human rights obligations under our charter. So they're saying Gambia violated this.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on and it just lays down one crime after the other. Okay. And it goes like this. IH calls on the commission. Remember, this is a separate from the UN, but it's the African Commission. A special resolution condemning witch hunts and witchcraft-related human rights abuses in Africa. IHEU requested special rapporteurs of the rights of women in Africa on refugees, asylum seekers, and internally displaced people in Africa. On human rights defenders in Africa raised the issues concerning witchcraft-related abuses with states, parties during their promotional missions. And he calls on different governments. Improving education is the number one thing. IHEU urges all state parties to make all necessary legal and administrative measures to combat all human rights abuses that are committed to the name of witch hunts. Now, this document really is pro-stop the witch hunts, and it doesn't really talk about witchcraft. But when you tie it back to the other one, which he also is a part of, you really get the idea of it.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The one made to the African Commission does not mention witchcraft as such, where the one made to the international one does.
Right. Okay. And so I'm going to finish the thing. You ask me what I can do, but I'm going to horrify you. You guys, do you want me to stop? I can stop, but I'm going to bring you the last piece of this. I have one more piece of presentation, then I'm going to open it to a discussion. This is Leo Igwaye, and he is on talking to Leo Igwaye, Executive Secretary of the Nigerian Humanist Movement at the Nigeria's Human Movement National Conference on Witch Hunt, Christian Fundamentalism, and Child Abuse, October 21st, 2009. He goes on to talk that, and he brings in Obama. He says, it was the President Barack Obama who, during his campaign, popularized the saying, yes, we can. Dear friends, concerning the eradication of witch hunt in our society, I want all of you to say, yes, we can. Participants, yes, we can. Thank you once again. We can put an end to the shameful practice of torturing and abusing those alleged to be witches and wizards in our families and communities. We can stop this primitive habit of blaming witches and wizards for our problems. We can stop the atrocity of child abuse and abandon in the name of witchcraft. Yay! Fellow humanists and human rights activists, last December, the government of Akwa Ibom, Nigeria, said, yes, we can, when it signed into the Child Rights Act, which criminalized the accusation and stigmatization of children. The Office of the First Lady said, yes, we can, when it took off the streets children abandoned due to witchcraft and put them in programs to rehabilitate them. You can also say, yes, we can, by assuring no child or adult is abused, persecuted, or killed in the name of this primitive superstition in our families and of our state's commitment to protect the rights of children. And they go on to talk about how they raided on July 3rd the Liberty Gospel Church and took the children out of control of that church. They took and closed an orphanage because of this sort of abuse. And it goes on and on and on. And they go on about how witch hunters need to be abused. And they go like this. And here it goes to the statement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is his closing. He has some other pieces, and if you really want to hear him, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make this clear. We shall not flee from witch hunters. We shall not be silenced by these charlatans and gangs and goons. We are not going to be cowed by political plots. I will get that. To that. I jumped ahead because this is the one that's going to outrage you. Remember, this is the guy who's trying to get these laws passed with other people. Time has come for such churches to order and expose these unscrupulous pastors, he's calling Christians. The time has come to stop all forms of witch testing with witch screening and witch deliverer sessions anywhere in the country. We must let everyone know that those who believe in witchcraft are ignorant. Those who refrain from challenging the claim of witchcraft are cowards. Those who defend the belief in witchcraft are slaves. Those who promote the belief in witchcraft are fools. Those who blame their problems on witches and wizards are idiots. Those who claim to deliver people from witchcraft, like the Apostle and Calabar, are charlatans. Those who torture, persecute, and kill persons alleged to be witches are criminals. And then he goes, finally, he says, ladies and gentlemen, so I want to make this clear. We shall not flee from witch hunters. We shall not be silenced by those charlatans and their gangs and goons. We shall not be cowed by criminal plots of these evangelical throwbacks who use the pulpit to spread lies and hatred. We are the Nigerian movement. Our determined to use reason, science, critical thinking, and human rights to beat these ages of the dark age and barbarianism. But we know we cannot do it alone. This is why we invite all of you to this event. We hope that you will need your support and cooperation to win this battle against a cultural scourge. I hope that this conference will offer us a variable opportunity to identify and articulate strategies to tackle and combat witchcraft hunt, Christian fundamentalism, and child abuse nationwide. Thank you. And that is Leo Igwe. Guy gets talked in front of the UN. This is a guy who's passed this role. Okay, so now I've not been watching the chat room. As you know, I cannot read and do multiple tasks in the chat room.
Yeah.
Okay. I told you I was going to really curl your socks today. Did I do that, folks? Did I keep my promise of saying, this is UN documents. You can look all this up. And let me give you that last little piece. Okay. The problem is that we're looking at a time, and you can always go say, well, this is somebody else's backyard, and this is somewhere else's. I can't. We have people in all those countries. If this gets passed, which is, and understand what their legitimate, let me make this unsure. They're making an argument that witches simply just don't exist. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that what it is? Witches don't exist. Therefore, don't claim you're a witch. Don't claim you're not a witch. Don't even accuse anyone of being a witch. Witches don't exist. That's the premise of this rite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all the things we've been doing, that we've been talking about, I just think that it's very, and I've been bringing these together. You know, and people, I hate to say it, but there's not a conspiracy. Conspiracy says that this is something done secretly. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's nothing secret about this.
This is part of an open war. That Christians.
There's nothing secret about it on either side.
No, this is all out in the open public. It's a matter of how much we pay attention. It's all out there in public.
The only element that might be secret. That I do suspect that many of the actual congregation of many of the American churches that are funding it may not really understand quite what's going on. But I don't think it's because it's a secret from them.
To answer Kira Knox's question, and her question is, I've got a question. What would they do if continued to practice Wicca? How would they punish us for our beliefs? Let me give everybody a guess, because I do have an answer for that, because that is the big question, isn't it? What could they possibly do? Anyone got any guesses? Oh, they can do something. Remember, the premise of this section is to make witchcraft not a fantasy, nonsensical. Giving you hints. And what is UN control? Alrighty. Well, let's see what we've got. What does become an issue for the U.S. if some of these laws pass? I mean, it's not any one of these.
Well, there are a number of things that are disturbing, and you know, for a lot of people, one of the things that's obvious is that what the word witch is being used to refer to is different in certain cases.
Right.
And I'm sure that there are people out there saying, wait, no, that's not what it means for us.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that in these laws, there's not going to be any nuance of what the word means.
Right.
In the precedent set, there isn't going to be any nuance. Because, of course, what they're talking about in Africa,
mm-hmm.
the kind of traditional African black magician,
mm-hmm.
There are also traditional African white magicians, and I'm using the terms in like the European sense of white and black magic. And that isn't necessarily exactly what they're talking about, although in some cases it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for better or worse, they're using the English word witch.
Mm-hmm.
Not any traditional word that covers them. And that is the thing that drags us into it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Together with the fact that at the heart of this is the possibility, on one side, of taking a governmental stand that any belief in metaphysics would be beyond legal sanction.
Right.
Because that's what they're actually asking for.
Right. Now, Alan Byrne, and Mind Your Muffins, you guys figured it out. And Crafter, you did it. You just figured it out. Yes, you guys all figured out the chat room. I have one of the smartest audiences in America when it comes to this stuff. I really do. You figured it out. Mental institutions are outside the normal constitution barriers because of mental illness. So therefore, if they can get past the UN that witchcraft, if the UN accepts that witchcraft at any level is a fantasy, a real fantasy, it gets marked as a mental psychiatrist by the UN and mental illness boards, and it goes through the various mental illness boards, and it gives Christian fundamentalists the right to set up camps to deprogram people who have a fantasy about witchcraft.
Mm.
Mental institutions, you've got, because mental institutions are not regulated under the same standards. They have said the Constitution gives people, the state, a right to protect people from dangerous fantasies. Now, the United States has got the strongest things, and this is stuff that may not happen in the United States that strongly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it could mean on the lowest level of this, if it's accepted at some level, we're allowed to keep fantasies.
Well, you know, I mean, there's already a level where, in
mm-hmm.
certain cases, belief in metaphysics has been treated as a mental illness. Not across the board, but for certain individuals in this country who were not necessarily mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, you know, just because it might not happen to the same extent in this country today,
mm-hmm.
doesn't speak to what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mind Your Mouth has mentioned, this is, like anti-homosexual camp? Exactly like anti-homosexual camp. They would say that homosexuality is a disease and you try to cure you. And it depends on the psychiatry. Some of it's going to be very mild. Some of it will be rip-off con artists who's going to take your parents or grandparents or your personal insurance and just spend it out.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a lot of interesting people. It isn't about, let's just say that all of that doesn't happen. Let us go ahead and not take it to the worst scenario. What does it really mean right now? Let's not worry about the future, but what does it really mean right now? And we'll get back to that in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break here because I don't take enough breaks when I do the news. I'm going to run this little quick commercial, and I'll be right back.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anyplace online magical education. With a wide range of classes in magic, witchcraft, and psychic arts, as well as exciting social forums through Ning and Yahoo, video through Magic TV, and online radio with Pagans Tonight. Buy a membership today. And if you've already got a membership, buy another. They're a good investment. That's WitchSchool.com.
And if you're looking for a wand or other jewelry to show your support for witches, try MyMysticGems.com because they have some great stuff.
Like the spiders.
Especially spiders. I see 330. I think this is Zerikon. Maybe not. Hello. Are you there?
Hey, no, not Zerikon. It's Tim.
Tim. Hi, Tim. I'm so sorry. Go, let me get you on the air here. Hi, Tim.
Hey, no problem. You know, what you're talking about, it reminds me of, I read the Unitarian Universalist minister Mark Morrison Reed's autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally, I mean, he describes this war going on, and the book's called Memoir of an Integration Baby, and he was, like, dragged into the war because his father was a scientist, so he spent a lot of his childhood in Europe,
mm-hmm.
where he was outside of it. Then he comes back, you know, in fact, he was in school when Martin Luther King was assassinated. Then he comes back, and all this war is going on, and, you know, it just, the only thing I can say is it's not just a culture war. Am I being over dramatic when I think of Hitler while you're talking?
And people can say, I always look just like the Hitler analogy, because Hitler is the largest failure in the 20th century. By far, as a human being, he failed. But I think we're starting to see McCarthyism. I think these guys are smarter. I think these guys are more along the line of Stalin, McCarthy, the sort of mind-controlling experts who control populations for the longer period of time. You know, Lenin. And what they did very differently than Hitler, and because people always go back to Hitler, but Hitler wasn't very good at maintaining his culture. Some of these other guys did that. It's this idea that you can control your society. And for me, I don't even think, and it's just, go ahead. I don't think you're overreacting when you're hearing that. This is how this stuff gets started. It's just, it's hate talk. But in this case, what makes it really interesting, I think what makes it really interesting is that they're making it witch's pariah on both sides of the fence. It's the witch's fault. It's people who call themselves witches' fault that they're getting hunted. And if they stop calling themselves witches, then nobody would need to be hunted.
What was the feeling about this issue at the church when you went to Australia?
Not
the
a word.
Of religion?
Don, you can answer that.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
Not even
our groups.
Not the pagans.
Not even a single pagan brought it up. I and Don were the only two people bringing it up, and we were largely ignored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And no one else was talking about it either.
No one was talking about it. No one was talking about this issue. It's not that important. I mean, we have a great intelligent audience. We have a great group of people who care. Most others, a lot of others just don't. They don't believe that the United States this affects the United States because we have this wonderful First Amendment. And I think the First Amendment is terrific, and we do have all these sort of protections. And because we have these protections, they think that those protections are fail-safe, that ultimately we're going to win. And to a large degree, I believe that too. I believe that eventually we win our fight. It is about how we are treated that's the argument, how we are allowed to get our rights in society that's going to be the argument. But in other parts of the world, this becomes very deadly. It becomes a very deadly issue. To be a member of Witch School or be listening to this radio show in Saudi Arabia could get you executed.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to walk into Saudi Arabia, they could arrest me. They have more than enough evidence because I've admitted to being a witch. I'm a self-confessed witch.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of these parts, if I walk into some of these countries, I could be arrested immediately. When I'm richer, when I have money, and I have a lawyer to back me up, I might test some of these laws. One reason I'm moving to Salem, so I have a little bit more cash from the tourist season, so I might be able to take on some of these challenges. But
you know, I have to say again,
mm-hmm.
when we come to that question, why do numbers matter?
Mm-hmm.
Why do politics matter? This is why they matter. And this idea that if you're tiny, small, and exclusive, you're wonderful,
mm-hmm.
is a little bubble so that certain people live in because they don't remember and cannot seem to foresee opposition.
But in the strong, to answer your question, Tim, in the strongest words, this is the idea of oppression. This is the idea of potentially creating a system where, in fact, everything we believe in, and things we don't believe in as well. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of these guys we got to stop from doing these killings. They're all lumping it together to make it into something. And I really think, if you're really on a deep dive, I think they're heading for the psychiatry. I think they're trying to get a medical solution to the witchcraft. I think scientists are looking for that.
Well, here's what I thought as you were talking. You know, Pat Robertson and his cronies and all that. You know, they're experimenting with how the exact process of, you know, they figure out the formula to exterminating us or shutting us up or whatever, then they bring that and apply it to America.
And that is the problem. You hit it on the nose. What they learn overseas, they bring back to the United States.
The and you know what's wrong?
That's what's wrong. The most marketed people in the world. We join fads all the time. We elected a president as much because of his chant, "Yes, we can," that you heard that these witch hunters, these people who want to eliminate freedom of religion, are using. I'm going to thank you for calling in, Tim. I got another call here. I really appreciate you calling in. I hope you guys continue listening to this. I appreciate it for the thoughts that you put into it. Thank you, Tim. And let me see if I get this other caller. That was very thoughtful. And 307, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Eric. How are you doing, Ed?
Good. All
yeah,
right.
I heard you mention my name. I had to call in. This is appalling. And if we think that this is going to just stay over there, and that we can stay in our little bubble and let this go on, then we're just ignorant, because this is going to come back home, and they're going to mess with us with the mental institutions. They're going to try to get us all committed. And then, you know what, we're going to be seeing the same things we've seen in Salem. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the same things they've seen in Europe because people haven't learned. We're no more civilized than we were back then. We're going to end up having burnings and hangings and now everything else, and it's all going to be legitimized. And it's going to happen because we don't stick together. We're going to have to find a way to build our community to stick together and to be able to stand up against this kind of stuff, or it's going to continue. Like I put in the chat room, we either stand up or we go back into the broom closet, and I'm too damn big to fit in a broom closet.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to stand, and if it kills me, it kills me. But I believe in what the goddess is teaching, and I believe that we have to stand. And I've seen also Mandy mentioned in there something about Martin Luther King and how they do a nonviolent protest, and I think that's what we're going to have to do. But the thing is, folks, it's going to take more than one person standing on the street corner with a sign saying, you know, we're persecuted. Well, where's we? You know?
Well, now, I do have – now let me offer you one more piece of interesting information. There is a lever we've got. I found a lever over the weekend, and nobody's talking about it, and it's not in anybody's strategy, but I do have a lever. And it has to do with the president of South Africa. He's Christian on the surface, but he's traditional in his heart. And the rest of the Western democracies are beating him over the head over female human rights distinguishment.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what it's for? He has three wives.
With his three wives.
He has three wives. That he
right, has, right.
And in his country, it's legal to have three wives.
He's
from an African tradition. He may be more susceptible. And I would, you know, I'm waiting for Damon and, you know, Rain, and the South Africans are very leery of Western help because, of, you know, they don't want to be abandoned. And Americans throughout the world have this concept of supporting until we're bored and then abandoning. Remember, the problem with Americans is that we're fad supporters, and the whole world knows we're fad supporters. How much work is being done for Haiti today? And that's what's bothering South Africans. But if we were all to write a letter to President Zuma, I mean, if they really got to him, he might become a supporter of traditional beliefs. Because he is.
That's a very important point. If we can swing our identification in their eyes to traditional belief, which is certainly how we see it, it could only help.
And so he is not... So I do believe President Zuma, I'm doing my research, and I saw him on GPS. The reason why you guys don't hear about it this as much as I do is I eat news. I torture poor Marianne with it. I torture Don with it. But I live and eat news. And President Zuma was on GPS, which is on CNN over the weekend. And he is unabashedly unembarrassed by he had three wives. He asked you, so do you love your wives all the same? He says, oh, I love my wives, each and every one the same, and we're very happy together. He has many children. He's been married for a while. But it's really, really bracing. And one of the arguments against him is that he's taking us back to old Africa. So I think that we start helping. We start looking. I don't have all the answers. I'm bringing you the news. And I guess, and we're coming down the last few minutes of this, we're bringing you the news. I don't have all the answers. But, you know, is anyone asking these questions? I'm going to continue asking these questions. And I'm hoping that other people hear them. Let me be honest with you. People think, 10 years ago I wrote about the Bush administration doing everything in its power to block witchcraft. And the veteran head pentacle became a big Bush administration blockage. And everybody started complaining about how this was going to happen. This stuff takes a while. It's a lot of work. You have to do it over the long run. In the short run, you do support things that excite people. As Americans, we have to deal with the fads. The next big fad for the pagan community could be the 30 days of advocacy of witch hunts. The difference between a leader and the fad people and the fad leaders is that the leaders know that they take this and they have to work it every day. Whatever they choose to do, they live their lives every day. Leadership is about doing the right thing every day. The fad leaders, and you'll see a lot of them, they'll jump on the 30 days of advocacy if we can make a loud enough noise and make it cool enough, and they'll join on that, and that real leaders can utilize that energy even if it's a temporary energy and bring them back. You know, think of it as Christmas and Easter. We can get people to care about this. We can get people to care about the 30 days of advocacy. We just have to let them know this is not a fantasy. That's the hard part. Well, I'll leave you. Thank you, Zerikon, for calling in.
Well, no problem. And God, this has got me hot. So we're going to figure something out.
So do something. So we figure out what to do. And Leo's trying to organize something. What is
That's
the one?
Right.
Do you have any one suggestion of what you think can be done?
Stop being quiet.
Stop being quiet. Aren't you lucky? So do you guys still want me to do this sort of news report? Because there's a lot more information I've got. This is it. And so let me know. You can email me. Okay, hell yes. We'll just see you on Tuesdays and everything else. But we got less than a minute to go. Don, you have the last word.
Blessed be, everybody.
Blessed be. Thank you. Well,
blessed
you can say
be,
blessed be. Yeah, blessed be. We'll catch you tomorrow where it is Wild Wednesday, and Tracy will be back. Hopefully, and me and Don will actually be on the road by morning.
Yeah.
Here we come, Salem.
Have a good trip, guys.
Thank you for joining us live on Pagans Tonight. You can hear us Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Central Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. For all questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at pagans tonight@gmail.com or check us out on the web at www.pagans pagans tonight.com. Blessed be.